He's amused Cam Newton.
Just ask that question one more time.
He's been insulted by Charles Barkley.
When some idiot in the press asked him, if you know what you know now, what you have scheduled this game?
He's interviewed Matthew McConaughey.
I do say go Tar-Hill.
And he's taken on Big Blue Nation.
He's just completely taken the wind out of my sails.
It's time for The Drive with Josh Grant.
Welcome to a Monday Drive. You are listening to WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad, where you couldn't script a better sports weekend for the Carolina Hurricanes, or for NC State basketball, or for the capital city of Raleigh. You want to look at it collectively. But since there are so many Tar Heel and Wolfpack fans right here in the Triad, let's start with the hoops. In the North Carolina locker room yesterday, it was the same story we've been going through pretty much the entire month of February. We just need to be more consistent. At the end of the day, we just got to close out these games. We've got to drown out the outside noise. Hubert Davis, he will cite a Bible verse about keeping the faith in tough times. Yesterday, it might have been from Hebrews, if memory serves. But that's not really news. And frankly, it's becoming boring to beat that dead horse game after game after game, which is why it's long past time to start giving NC State their flowers, because it seems like they've turned the page from past decades of being irrelevant to something new. It seems like a new day for NC State basketball. That's not overstatement. Yesterday was a big deal for them, where, unlike the past decade, they didn't fold in that game. They didn't fold when it was close at the end. They did the exact opposite of what folding is. With 10 minutes or so left to go, State was down 6 in the game, and at that point, I'm sitting up in the rafters where they sat us in the hockey press box watching this hoops game, and I'm thinking, I've seen this movie a million times before, just like what we were talking about going into the weekend. Oh, the pressure, the sphincters tightening, you're going to feel it. And North Carolina, which needed the game more, they're going to run away. That's not what happened. State rattled off a 7-0 run. Then when the game was tied at 60 in the final 5 minutes, a lightning quick 7-0 run again, capped with Jarkel Joyner hitting a 3. Jarkel had 29 in the game. His most memorable play was the game that put it on ice, the play that put it on ice, where he dunked down the alley-oop. That was another 6-0 spurt. That put the game away. That was the final dagger. NC State was overwhelming down the stretch. That's something we have not seen in a very long time, especially when the guys wearing light blue are on the other side of the court. And that's the thing, too. It almost didn't matter that it was North Carolina. That's the vibe I got. Usually, when Carolina is at NC State, you would see Kevin Keats walking out wearing the red blazer. Even last year, he did that when coaches were no longer wearing suits and ties to every game. This game just felt a little bit more important. It wouldn't matter where North Carolina was ranked. If North Carolina lost in that building, fans were going to storm the court. Keats didn't roll up wearing a different red blazer. He wore the same pullover he wears to every game. When State won, fans didn't charge the court. It was a different vibe. Kevin Keats even joked about it after the game when asked about the significance of beating the folks from Chapel Hill.
Let's just concentrate on wins over to everybody in the ACC. I don't stack it as because it's great wins over UNC. We did our job. The other guys did their job. We're happy with it. But I know people don't believe this. I don't put one win over the other. It was a win we needed to have, and I'm happy to have it. It's not a rivalry, right? So why would I care?
He was smiling ear to ear when he said that last piece, handling that about as well as you can. This is a time that NC State fans have been talking about for over a decade. Will we have an opportunity to make strides, to shine in an ACC that no longer has Coach K or Roy Williams in it? And this is the first full season where that's the case. And what happens? State beats Duke by 24, beats North Carolina for just the second time in a decade at PNC Arena. This feels different. This is the best team in the state. As I mentioned, they beat Duke by 24. We'll see what happens when they visit Cameron next week. They beat Carolina. They beat Wake Forest in Winston-Salem. This was great, though. In the state locker room, we walked up to Taquavion Smith, and right before the lights turned on for the TV cameras and we were able to ask questions, he reached back into his locker to grab the shades. And he kind of told you why in this answer here, but him being an Eastern North Carolina kid, the in-state games really matter to him. This is why he came back to NC State to try and win them. Here he was talking about the significance.
Hey, man, just another game. I mean, I be trolling, you know. I made a lot of comments, but I just like to troll, you know. I like to get under people's skin, you know. So that's how that went. But it feels good to win, beat North Carolina teams because we're in North Carolina. It's always like who run North Carolina, so I feel like we run it this year.
Yeah.
WD, do me a favor. Will, you're a North Carolina fan. Can we hold off on the North Carolina side of this for at least another segment? I get it. People are upset. I'm looking at my Twitter. I see the Carolina fans. Our phone lines are going off. Can it wait 5 minutes? Can we talk about NC State for at least 5 to 10 minutes before we make this about Hubert Davis and making this about the Tar Heels?
I'll hold it.
Okay. We'll get to Carolina in just a few minutes. I do see all of you, though. I see you.
Yeah.
I think that was Jack Clark. Might have been DJ Burns. It happened right behind my head.
Yeah.
That's the vibe of NC State. If you want to know what the vibe of NC State is right now, it's this.
Yeah.
Really, that's the vibe of the entire city of Raleigh after this weekend.
Because...
transitioning things to the Canes, in the 2 hours leading up to the outdoor game on Saturday night, fully expected you to interrupt me, not with the Canes horn, but instead Jack Clark or whoever that was behind me.
Yeah.
Getting to the point. Leading up to the game, 2 hours before, 3 hours before, it had the feel of the Paul McCartney concert in Winston-Salem last year. Absolute gridlock, trying to park cars, chaos, a lot of disorganization, endless lines trying to enter the building less than an hour before the event was set to start. But a lot like Sir Paul, once you got into the stadium, it's hard to overstate how special of a night it was. Because this is something that one of the most tenured television photographers walked up to me and said he might have had the line of the night when I walked up to him in the press box on Saturday. His name's Charlie Mickens. He said, "Josh, this is not a game. This is an event. And there's a difference between the two." And here's what made it so different, what made it so special. Usually the event is Beyonce's in town or Paul McCartney, and that's the appeal. This celebrity is gracing our stadium, our city, with their presence. Or it's a big playoff game. The city wasn't sought out just because of the rules of the sport. This is where the playoff game is going to happen. The Panthers hosting an NFC Championship game. The Hurricanes hosting a Stanley Cup. No, Raleigh was the destination. North Carolina was the destination. The team itself earned that. It was a showcase of North Carolina's hockey scene on Saturday. That's what hit me. Outside the stadium, I saw a lot of Carolina Thunderbirds jerseys. Like, the entire state, as a hockey state, was on display for all to see on Saturday. And the presentation of it was perfect. I sat next to the national meteorologist that they brought in to work for the NHL. You have those. They're important for the outdoor game. And he was updating me hour by hour, almost minute by minute leading up to puck drop, what the weather was. And he said, I've been to about a dozen of these outdoor games. And usually there's something. Oh, there's a chance of rain. There's some cloud cover. We're worried about this. He said, this is probably the most perfect forecast that we've seen for an outdoor game. In the South! At puck drop, it was 43 degrees. Had the feeling of my wedding. Week of my wedding last week, or last year, every day was in the 80s. Like it was, and one day was in the 90s in June. And there was some rain the night before, but the day of my wedding, it was mid-60s. And there wasn't a cloud in the sky. Saturday night, all throughout last week, it was warm. It was 60 degrees for much of the week. There was terrible storms on Friday. Not a cloud in the sky on Saturday. Not a problem at all. At puck drop, it was 43 degrees. Perfect hockey weather. The presentation was perfect. The NC State band, they were awesome. A perfect touch, a masterstroke. They're playing Rock You Like a Hurricane as the teams are coming out onto the ice. The uniforms were great. The golf outfits, really enjoyed that. The old school golf outfits that Jordan Martinook told me was kind of a tribute to Payne Stewart after the game. The storm surge was great. And the team, they took care of their business on the ice. Here was Rod Brindamore speaking to the entire night as somebody who's become a bit of a Hurricanes lifer after raising the cup as a player and now coaching this team to being one of the best in the NHL. It's won 9 of the last 10, or 10 of the last 11, I should say, and got this great event off the floor, off the ground, and into the win column.
I'll be honest with you, before the game started, and I'm on the bench, and you know, the whole thing went on before the game, and I'm like, what? I mean, I don't know what I deserve to get this, because this is real special. And I did it as a player, and that was awesome to win, but these are just things that just keep kind of adding to it, and I'm really grateful for it. And yes, obviously there's one more thing that would put it over the top, but I've been real lucky.
I wonder what that thing is. They jumped out 3 minutes into the game in front, about as dominant of a second period as you're going to see. It was a picture-perfect night, a picture-perfect game, and something that we're not going to forget having experienced it.
It's The Drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
A bit of Panthers news. Adam Schefter just reported in the last couple minutes. The longest tenured Carolina Panther, J.J. Jansen, the long snapper, has agreed to a one-year deal today. He will return under a new coaching staff. So that means he started with John Fox. He was also under Ron Rivera, Matt Rhule, and Frank Reich. That's pretty cool. Four different coaching staffs J.J. Jansen has been the long snapper for. Wanted to pass that along. We are streaming video on YouTube, Twitch, and on Twitter. WD and I both wearing poofball hats today.
Yeah, I must have turned you
toboggans.
On to the idea.
Not well. Wanted to get some gear from the stadium series.
Yeah.
Got myself this hat here. You got yourself a tumbler.
I do. I got some coffee in it right now.
Yeah.
It's great.
So I figured got you something and got myself a little bit of something here too. We're feeling very festive in here. Now let's get to Graham's grades.
Every week is a test for your favorite sports teams.
We don't need no education.
Who passed the test?
If one of y'all says some silly ass name.
Who dropped the ball?
I don't know.
Josh Graham has the answers.
I think you're very condescending and a know-it-all.
Hey, teacher, leave it kids alone.
Time for Graham's grades.
Let's grade the weekend. A through F, a lot to get into, and we start with the very good.
A.
The NC State marching band was an A. It's not an exaggeration when I say that might have been the best part of the presentation at the outdoor game. It's a lot like the rug and the Big Lebowski. It just tied the whole thing together. It made it feel like a college football atmosphere. The players absolutely loved it. I'm sure you don't even know what Big Lebowski is.
It's a movie.
Well, under the context of the question, I'm sure you can assume it's a movie, but yeah. Do you know anything else? Can you tell me anything about that movie?
I know the guy who I think is Big Lebowski is an Iron Man, I think. The first Iron Man.
Jeff Bridges?
Yeah.
I think that might check out.
Yeah.
Okay.
The villain? Yeah.
Question asked, question answered. The marching band was fantastic, and it really added something. It made the event feel like something that should be at that stadium. It regionalized things. It localized it. And I give that an A.
B.
Across the parking lot, Jarkel Joyner against North Carolina. He didn't have the best shooting day yesterday. That's why this is a B. But he scored 29 points. And the 1-3 that he hit happened to cap the 7-0 run to make it 67-60 and blow the lid off of PNC Arena. Easily the loudest it's been this year. And Kevin Keats said it might have been the loudest he's ever heard that building in his tenure at NC State. But you talk about the plays that he made down the stretch. Baby T didn't have the best day because Leaky Black did a great job defending him. What we mentioned going into the weekend. I didn't know Jarkel Joyner was capable of going for 29 in this game, and that's exactly what was needed. In addition to NC State having one turnover and NC State hitting pretty much all of its shots in the final 5 minutes or so of the game, Jarkel deserves the credit specifically.
C.
Wake Forest loss to Miami. It's a C because the Deacs scored 87 points in the game. They hit 15 threes. They shot 55% from the field. They had six players go for at least a dozen and another that went for eight. They had their guns loaded. Still lost by nine. Why? Because 19 turnovers turned to 34 points off of the turnovers. More than a third of Miami's points came off of Wake Forest turnovers. It reminded me a lot of the game in Chapel Hill back in January that Wake Forest had control of, and they scored well enough to win, but just kept giving the ball away.
D.
The finish at Daytona. It's not an F because the system worked the way that it was supposed to work, but that doesn't mean it was fun to watch on TV. It was brutal to see the race in that way. You watch that for hours and hours and hours, and then it ends with the crew chiefs and all of us, Mike Joy and others in the booth, trying to figure out who NASCAR says won the race. And after further review, it's Ricky Stenhouse Jr. When on TV, it looked like it was Joey Logano. Now, they got it right on the replay and such, but that's just not the way you want to see the Great American Race in. And that's a bit of a bummer.
F.
Clemson basketball. You lost to Louisville. Louisville. Then again, and are we allowed to say that Louisville's playing decent basketball right now?
Well, I was about to say they came up just three short.
They almost
UVA.
Beat Virginia, but then again, Virginia missed all those free throws to make that a competitive game.
Yeah, and only beat Notre Dame by two.
Tonight they play at Duke. Nolan Smith's return, but Joe Lenardi doesn't even have them in consideration right now, which is amazing because as of right now, they'd be a double bye team in the ACC tournament. How crazy would that be? Congrats on your double bye into the ACC tournament. You're still not good enough to get into the NCAA tournament. What a slap in the face that would be, but that's where things stand right now. It's crazy. And that's been Graham's grades for this week. WD, you didn't have any games to go to this weekend. Did you catch any movies like you said you might?
I didn't watch an entire movie. Predictably. But when I tell you I watch bits and pieces of a movie, this is what it looks like.
I know, but that's not a thing.
Scrolling YouTube, and I see that there's a clip of like a statue of Batman. It's the third Batman movie.
But why do you waste your time scrolling YouTube for clips of movies rather than just flipping one on?
It's not that I waste my time.
That is a waste of time.
I scroll YouTube because I like to watch YouTube clips. And so I saw it, I'm like, wait, does Batman die in this? Because it was a statue. I'm like,
your attention span is that small?
No, I'm on YouTube a lot, so I looked at it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, but I don't want to spend the time watching a movie.
Yeah,
so
I just find out right
now. I just
want
to watch YouTube clips that are 3.5-5 minutes long. That's what I want to do with my time.
I mean, I was laying in the bed when I did it last
night. I watched 3 movies this weekend.
Jeez.
In addition to going to those 2 games. Friday night, it's a movie I'd never heard anybody have a conversation about. I just knew the title and thought, I hadn't seen this. Let's watch it. Knew nothing about the movie whatsoever. Mr. Holland's Opus from 95. Turned that on, starring Richard Dreyfuss. Was not prepared for the final 20 minutes of that movie. It got dusty. Boogie Nights, threw that on, but it was on in the background. That's a perfect movie.
Yeah, you've told me about that movie.
It's a perfect movie. It's like 3 hours long, but it's on in the background while I'm completing some work. And I had never seen Serpico. So I watched Serpico because I'm a big Al Pacino fan. So gave that a look. Maybe I'm not a big Al Pacino fan, because how can you be a big Al Pacino fan and not have seen Serpico? But I like Al Pacino's work enough to try and explore movies that he's in that I hadn't seen before, even if that movie's as weird as Cruising was 40 years ago, or if it's Serpico. So there you go.
This is it. Ready?
All right, hold on.
All right, do it.
All right, listen up.
It's The Drive with Josh Graham.
Right this second at Carter Finley Stadium, Rod Brindamore and other Carolina Hurricanes legends are participating in the Canes alumni game. It's underway. Rod Brindamore won the opening faceoff, because of course he did. Mike Maniscalco, our friend from Bally Sports, he's doing the play-by-play over the PA system. What a weekend it was over there. A great atmosphere. It's hard to script it being any better than what it was. So let me spell all that out first before we get into some of the nitpicks we've got here for the outdoor game. These are nitpicks. This isn't me saying the event was bad. It was one of the greatest things that I've covered. I grew up a Carolina Hurricanes fan, so it was a special night for yours truly. I just want to say that on the front end. Now let's start with the nitpicks. If you're going to go all in on an NC State theme, mainly looking at you, ESPN, there might be some more modern options to utilize. In other words, I was sitting in the press box and saw the opening pregame package appear on ABC, and a few of us chuckled out loud when Jim Valvano appeared on the screen. As if to say, with him and Derek Wittenberg and David Thompson, is that really what NC State has at this point? Do they got anything else they can showcase? That's the sad reality of it.
We suck.
40 years ago, we've got Jim Valvano. That's what we've got. So, outdoor game at NC State. What are we going to showcase from NC State? Let's go back to the Jim Valvano well. Let's go to David Thompson and Derek Wittenberg. Come on! You're at the NC State football stadium. We gonna do something with Russell Wilson?
Phillip Rivers.
We couldn't do anything with Dave Doran except have him chugging beers with Marty Smith? None of that. You're in the football stadium. So that's a nitpick. The NHL could have selected maybe some more regional musical acts. That's an idea. Jake Owen, is fine. Hey, they're in the South. Let's find a country act. You don't think Scotty McCreery would have said no? You don't think Scotty McCreery would have done it? Like, when, I get it if you get a top flight country act to be in this spot. I don't think Scotty McCreery falls in that category, but is Jake Owen that much better? Like, I get it if you can't get Luke Combs. Understand that. But Jake Owen, when you could have gone Scotty McCreery, he's right there. Lovely the Band has a one-hit wonder that plays to a track I learned. Got there. And you know it's a bad sign. You know you're probably a bad band if you hear the bass of a song, but you don't see a bass player on stage. That's probably a bad sign. So Lovely the Band's got one hit. Why not at that point just contact Daughtry, who's from Raleigh? See what they're up to. Like, they only have one or two hits. They haven't been doing anything in a while. I doubt they would have turned that down. Come on, NHL. And speaking of criticism for the NHL, they vastly underestimated the North Carolina sports fans, the North Carolina hockey scene, because they did not do much staffing of traffic outside of this event. It reminded me of a U2 show I went to in Raleigh circa 2009. It reminded me of the Paul McCartney show in Winston-Salem last year. Just gridlock, traffic everywhere, people not really knowing what they're doing. So if I'm nitpicking it a bit, those are the places that I will begin. Also, Ripken the Bat Dog's overrated.
What? Oh, please. Why?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. So he's this high-level dog athlete, right?
Darn right he is.
Picks up the tees at NC State games. He, you know, he's the bat dog at the Durham Bulls. I mean, if you're going to be on a big stage, Ripken the Bat Dog, you better deliver.
Oh, I know.
He dropped the puck twice before he was supposed to. And then you got the viral video of him dapping up players the day before. Jordan Staal went to dap him up after the puck drop, and he wanted none of it. Ripken the Bat Dog.
Oh.
And I think people in the stands recognized it because at the next media timeout, first media timeout of the game, they brought out the Washington Capitals' cute pup. They brought out, I don't know his name, I think it might be Biscuits. They brought out the Bat Dog again. They brought out Tuffy, the new Tuffy, the NC State mascot, and Hamilton the Pig. Hamilton the Pig got the biggest cheer. Biggest cheer at that spot. And it's because Ripken the Bat Dog didn't bring it. And it happens. High-level athletes, sometimes they don't perform on the biggest stage. Ripken the Bat Dog deserved to be in that moment. He's had great opportunity, but not a great night for Ripken the Bat Dog. He didn't bring it. Just got to be honest about it. Let's go to Colby in Greensboro, who wants in on State Carolina. Hey, Colby. What do you got for us, Colby?
Oh, yeah, I was going to pop in and just talk about the NC State game, but man, you're flaming Ripken the Bat Dog?
Yeah, I'm ripping Ripken the Bat Dog. He had a rough night. I mean, you have one job is to drop the puck, and he dropped the puck two or three times before he was supposed to.
Okay, fair. But I was calling in. I mean, I just wanted to disclose this. UNC took three L's to NC State this weekend. They took the L in women's basketball Thursday night.
Yeah.
They took the L Friday night in men's and wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And then they took the L on Sunday against in men's basketball. Like, if I'm a UNC fan, I'm probably pretty depressed. And that's just, as a State fan, I'm so happy today.
Yeah.
I love heckling UNC fans, and it's a lot to heckle right now.
And it should be noted, thank you for the call, Colby, that after the Carolina Hurricanes alumni game, you've got NC State Carolina Club Hockey that's going to be playing on the Stadium Series ice. I know State's club hockey team has a big following, and they're pretty darn good. Saw them in Winston-Salem a week or so ago with the ACCHL. Which my understanding is they had another big weekend out at the Fairgrounds Annex. I like NC State's chances of completing that sweep. You're right. Not a great time for Carolina fans when it comes to this as they would call it, non-rivalry with NC State. Can we retire that now? I think that joke's been made enough how ridiculous it is, the suggestion that maybe we could stop doing that. Really quickly, Kyle the Amazon driver. Got about a minute and a half, Kyle. What do you have?
So I just wanted to talk about the All-Star Weekend. I think one of the biggest issues we have right now with NBA All-Star Weekend is the fact that, specifically the dunk contest, we know for a fact that NBA players are no longer the greatest dunkers in the world. We now have professional dunkers.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So that just kind of takes away the steam from it, right?
It's why LeBron doesn't want to do it, because he knows that
he's
probably going to get outperformed by some dude on the modern-day version of an and-one mixtape.
Look, I'll put it to you like this. Back in the day when we had the McDonald's All-American game and LeBron James was in the dunk contest, give me that LeBron James versus Mac McClung 2 days ago, who's winning?
Yeah.
You remember that dunk contest?
Yeah.
Now, also, I want to talk to Kobe. Kobe, love death. Appreciate you calling our show. We all love this show. We took a lot of L's, but we are not depressed, because guess who won the Daytona 500?
Yeah, Mr. Josh. Stenhouse Jr.
Yeah, who's his car owner, Josh?
Brad Doherty.
Where? Carlson Tar Heel.
That's a win. That's a win for Carolina. So I was struggling to find one. You did.
We're not going down that quiet, baby. You're going to have to come a whole lot harder than that. We out here doing great things.
There goes Kyle the Amazon driver, finding a win, a W for Carolina fans.
You're on the drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
You can listen to Duke Louisville in about 90 minutes right here on WSJS. Brian Geisinger's on his way inside Cameron Indoor Stadium, and he joins us now. We'll play out Precise the Geis in a moment. But let's start with North Carolina, the place that they're in right now, BG, because I'd like to know what the film tells you when it comes to them and where you draw the line between responsibility a coach has for the team he puts out on the floor versus, you know, the blame that players deserve for lack of execution, freelancing, et cetera, et cetera. Who or what do you believe is primarily responsible for where North Carolina is right now?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I think it's a complicated answer with a lot of stuff that goes into it. I mean, I think to an extent, I'm sure you've talked about this on your show, like, I do think the way they finished the season last year probably, like, overinflated what expectations should have been, with some people seeing them as, you know, clear-cut the top team coming into the, you know, coming into the college basketball landscape this summer or this offseason. But I think the thing that you have to remember is, like, one, they lost Brady Manek, who was the perfect complement for someone like Armando Bacot. They brought in Pete Nance, who is a talent upgrade at the four over Manek, but doesn't quite fit that, like, inside-out 4-5 combo quite as well as Manek's movement shooting did last season. I was in on the Nance addition, because Pete Nance is a guy that could be on an NBA roster right now. And so I sort of thought they would just figure out the talent. Well, pairing between those two, it hasn't happened. Caleb Love is what he has been basically since his freshman year. You know, he is not, I don't think, like, made the strides that maybe you'd like to see from a guy who has his usage rate, his shot selection. And ultimately for them, you need the blend. Like, they don't have the one guy that can just completely detonate on a defense, like, kind of Bacot. But even then, like, he's got people need to be able to give him the ball, right? And I just think you needed all five parts in that starting lineup running and moving together. And that was what was going to give UNC, you know, the kind of offense, a top 10 type offense in the country, that would carry them to being a team that would, you know, contend in the ACC and maybe make the Final Four. But it hasn't happened. And the defense, of course, no real surprise, the defense hasn't been great this year either. But really, I think it's been the offense, like the cohesion, just those five guys playing together, and it doesn't look like the pieces at any point in time this season have fit seamlessly.
Armando,
you hit on the piece that makes it complicated for me, because Caleb Love has been an inefficient player for most of his career, and these problems that we're seeing with some of the guys in the backcourt, they're problems that go back to Roy Williams, and we know he's a really good coach. Hubert, I think, proved in the Final Four run, X's and O's wise, that he could be a pretty darn good coach as well. But then you bring up the transfers, and where Brady Manek was such a big hit for Carolina, Dawson Garcia wasn't, and Pete Nance hasn't really fit in so much either. And this is something that I think we lose when you talk about what Steve Forbes has done at Wake Forest, and some others have done a great job in college basketball with it too. Not just identifying talent, Brian Geisinger, myself, Will Dalton, maybe a trained monkey, can probably identify a talented player if you've showed them enough clips of him, but figuring out who good chemistry pieces might be and how to integrate that talent onto a roster is not a very easy thing to do sometimes. So I do think he deserves some blame for that. What have you seen that has concerned you about really some of the decisions Carolina's made with roster construction, whether it be playing more of a bench or what we've seen with Nance?
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, as far as like the overall talent, like this roster is pretty good. I mean, it's maybe not like super high end, and I think that's going to change as Hubert starts to get more and more recruiting classes in. I mean, you know, Pete Nance might be the only surefire, like, you know, NBA guy on this team. And right now, like, he's kind of a sore spot for them offensively because they just have not figured out the best way to sort of, like, blend he and Bacot together. And there are times, too, where, you know, when Armando sits and Pete plays
the true five out.
Exactly. Pete's the true five out there. And all of a sudden, UNC goes to these five out looks. Things start to look like, you know, kind of the way Northwestern would orient its offense around Pete Nance, with a lot of, like, you know, him initiating in the middle third of the floor. And it's awesome that UNC can do that stuff. But then it's when Armando is out there, it's like the best ways to use Pete Nance are going by the wayside. So that they couldn't find a better way to pair those two guys together, to me, means they were never going to hit their ceiling. Again, there's a lot of issues that go into this. But I think part of it is, like, they have two good guards that can create. But Caleb Love, you know, he kind of is better when the defense is tilted, and then he gets to attack. RJ Davis is really good, but, you know, he's undersized. And he had, like, an outlier bad game Sunday at NC State, right? I mean, 2 of 13. Like, come on. He's a dude's, like, maybe not quite a sniper, but he's a really good shooter. And with Leakey, you have a guy that, like, has developed and improved as an offensive player, but it's still, like, kind of teams are still willing to leave him open and play off of him. And you could just see yesterday, like, when they were trying to pound the ball into Bacot, I mean, whomever was playing four for NC State's going to sag off Pete Nance. They're going to help off Leakey Black, and they just made some of those, like, automatic post entries, or what should be automatic, more difficult because they're just able to load up from the post and load up on the backside. So, look, it's a lot of different things. You can't just pinpoint one thing. I will say, though, I think there's been a lot of frustration from Carolina fans that pointed at Hubert in the offense. Hubert Davis, I know I've just said, like, a fair amount of negatives, but that guy, like, he knows how to coach offense. Like, it maybe hasn't hit perfectly this season, but he's got a pretty creative mind and does a nice job scheming stuff up. And when he finds something that works, he'll spam it. I just think going forward, they need to get a little bit more shooting in the front court. If they could get one more guy in on the wing that could create a shot for themselves too, would be a big deal going forward. But ultimately, UNC is going to be fine. This season's just been, you know, obviously a pretty sizable disappointment.
Brian Geisinger with us here. He's on Twitter at bgeis_bird. Now let's get into one of our favorite games to play. We haven't played it in a while, but it is time for Outprecise the Geis.
Brian Geisinger is a basketball genius. Josh Graham, is not.
I'm smart, you're dumb. I'm big, you're little. I'm right, you're wrong.
Listen as Brian launches half-court shots and Josh, well, double dribbles all over himself.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
Get off the bench and try to out-precise the Geis.
For those who are uninitiated, WD has dug up some NBA questions. Brian Geisinger is one of our state's greatest hoop nerds and great hoop minds. So he's probably going to dunk all over me as if he's Mac McClung or something. And yeah, we're not going to get into the dunk contest, I hope. Let's see what BG has in store for us, or what WD has in store for BG and I.
We're not getting into the dunk contest.
I'm glad. So, yeah. Thank you. I can't even name the other guys he competed against, and it happened 2 days ago.
I can't either. Russell Westbrook. He's going to be signing with the LA Clippers.
Move on down the corridor from one locker room to the other.
Yeah. How many, because he used to be Mr. Triple Double back in the day. How many triple doubles does he have this year?
This year?
Ooh. This year.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I will take, three this season for Russell Westbrook triple double.
I went high, 7.
It's 4.
No! I just figured there were some.
Yeah, he was still putting up numbers this year off the bench for the Lakers.
That's what I was thinking. Like, it's like the Kevin Love Minnesota situation where somebody's got to score those points, grab those rebounds, and pick up those assists. And I figured there might be more times with a bad Laker team that happens. So, anyway, what's the next one?
Well, hold that thought, because we're moving to Kevin Love.
Hey!
Because he reached a buyout with the Cavs over the weekend. He's going to be joining the Heat on a one-year deal.
Him and Jimmy Butler, I'm sure, will get along well.
Oh, totally. How many points per game is he averaging this year?
Ooh.
Is this a trick question?
Yeah, it's interesting. I'll be honest, I'm kind of surprised the way things unraveled with Cleveland and Kevin Love. He was like a big piece for them a year ago. I will say, I'll say 9 points per game for Kevin Love.
I got 6.6. I don't know why I did decimals, but I did.
It was 8.
It's 8.
It's 8.
Oh my goodness. Ooh, see, should have gone with 7.
You should have.
Living great.
Yeah. Split.
So BG's already got me. He's at Cameron getting set for Duke Louisville tonight. We got one more question to ask.
And now bringing it to the All-Star game, Jason Tatum got All-Star MVP. Set a record for the All-Star game with 55 points.
Mm-hmm.
How many times this season, not counting last night, has he gone 40-plus?
About to say, I don't think he's done 55, no. Has he?
Man, he is something else. What a player Jason Tatum has turned into. You said 40-point games this season?
Yeah,
right?
40. Yeah, 40-plus.
Let's go 10.
I got 4.
It's 8. Season high was against the Hornets, by the way, 51 points.
I just got worked.
Yeah, you did.
Jarkel Joyner. BG's like Jarkel Joyner from the 10-minute mark on yesterday. Speaking of Duke and NC State, on the way out, who excites you more as a potential dark horse NCAA tournament team between NC State and Duke?
I think State, because of the backcourt and just like the style of play this season, like it's fun when they get up and down and when they are pushed into the half court, the pick and roll, dynamics of Joyner and Terquavion Smith, and then the low post game of DJ Burns, and kind of the underrated 3-and-D play of Casey Morsell. So I would say State, because I think there's Duke probably top to bottom has a better roster, but I just think State's style of play has the ability to maybe, really spring an upset or two if they're able to get off that 8-9 line.
Okay. Well, what are you using your voucher on tonight at Cameron, though? I got to know. Important stuff on the way out.
Okay. So I'm trying to eat better, so I'm not using the media voucher for dinner tonight.
Good man.
But I did get a coffee at Cocoa Cinnamon, which I'm drinking outside of Cameron on the phone with you guys right now.
Pretty good. I'm glad you're not in the media room badgering everybody by answering our questions. I'm glad that
not yet.
Brian Geisinger, among the most self-aware in the media, and also aware of his figure, too. How about that? I wish I was better about that. I'd be getting the big, large pizza and the Sour Patch Kids and all that.
I don't know, man. I thought you got in pretty good shape the last year or so.
Since the wedding.
The bike, right?
Yeah, since the wedding, it's been a little bit downhill. I may have picked up like 4 or 5 pounds, but the Peloton is key. Peloton gets you back in a routine. Yeah. So, BG, you're the man. I'll see you at a Duke game sometime soon, and I appreciate you spending the time.
Yeah, you guys be good. Talk soon.